Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Wholesale lumber to the public, they've got it. RMFP.com right now, giving away one large specialty pizza to Marco's Pizza in Aurora, and a lot of great ones to choose from. The white pizza is fantastic, loaded with bacon and tomatoes. The barbecue chicken pizza I love. And Debbie was just on the show, one of the owners, and she talked about that pepperoni melt, layers of cheese and thick cut pepperoni. So why not have a pizza on us, courtesy of Marco's Pizza in Aurora? Two great locations. One is off of Quincy, the other one is off of Smoky Hill Road. First caller on the Go Fast Energy Drink Hotline, 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. We have some breaking news, by the way. Tonight's Nuggets game against the Lakers, LeBron's not going to be playing. He's going to miss tonight's back-to-back because of a sore ankle, and there's no word if he's going to even play the following game against the Clippers. I would love for him to play against the Clippers. Thrilled that he is not playing tonight.
Well, he also seems pretty sore about the play-in tournament. He was complaining about that last night, saying whoever came up with that bleep needs to be fired.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny how you start not liking something when there's a threat of you dropping into the fiery 7-10 play-in tournament.
LeBron has a lot of say in the Lakers organization. He has very little to no say on what the NBA does.
And I think he's wrong on this. I love the play-in tournament.
Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Okay, May, so we've sprinkled it throughout the show. Michael Silver wrote a terrific column. Michael Silver, of course, from the NFL Network. You and I were out at the draft this weekend. We saw him plenty. It seems like he had behind-the-scenes access of everything that went on. He did interviews with George Payton and John Elway and Vic Fangio. And this is another thing that he wrote. Payton and Fangio had a face-to-face conversation with Drew Locke before the trade for Teddy Bridgewater. According to both Payton and Fangio, Locke took the news well and embraced the impending competition, which will likely begin with Bridgewater as the presumptive starter. What? Yank the needle off the record. Because in that article, he went in depth about Elway leaving his position, how they, you know, found a way to move up and down in the draft. In depth on this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then as a little aside, oh, by the way, Bridgewater will be the presumptive starter. And here's something to consider. And the reason why I brought up, he had interviews, exclusive interviews with Payton, Elway, and Fangio. Silver just didn't suddenly make this up.
No. And it's also interesting kind of in light of where this team stands overall. And let's start with the coaching. Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, and the staff. Are their seats hot today? No, they're not. But they got them the quarterback that they wanted, the steady veteran. Shurmur in particular got somebody who has been in his offense for 2 years, so doesn't really need much time to get fully ramped up to speed. And also another thing with Bridgewater is, remember how well he played with the Saints a couple of years back?
Yep.
He did that and took second team snaps to get ready. You're going to give him half the snaps this year? He's already proven that he can execute an offense reasonably well when he doesn't get snaps.
Right.
In first-team snaps in OTAs and training camp. So, basically, what they're setting up here, I think, is kind of a no-excuses season for this coaching staff. All right. You got the veteran quarterback you wanted. If Drew Locke takes the next step, you can ride with him. If Drew Locke doesn't, you can just put Teddy in there, someone that knows the scheme, that you trust. But if it doesn't work out, it might be somebody else next year providing the guidance on what quarterback this team is going to draft. That is, of course, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come in. Aaron Rodgers changes everything,
of course.
Right? But if they don't get Rodgers, that's kind of the outcome here. Locke and Bridgewater compete. If Locke doesn't take the next step, well, Teddy's your guy. Teddy, Pat, he knows Teddy knows his scheme. And if the season comes in under expectations, then it's somebody new that, along with George Payton, is making the call from a quarterback class that, look, it may not look great now, but we saw how guys rose this year. There will be some guys, like a Desmond Ridder or JT Daniels. There will be guys who rise up and are in the conversation. Right now, the only one there's real consensus about right now is Sam Howell, but others will be in the mix.
I have no reason to doubt Michael Silver in what he wrote, which again said Bridgewater will be the presumptive starter. He had access to Elway and Peyton and Fangio.
He wouldn't write that lightly. Let's put it that way.
No one else had that same type of access that Michael Silver had. However, there is one thing that he wrote that, from what I understand and from what I have been told, is unequivocally not true. He wrote, with the draft approaching, Peyton and Fangio had high opinions of Fields, Mac Jones, and Trey Lance, all of whom they felt might be available at number 9. With that, from what I was told, they loved Trey Lance. They would have taken him at 9 over Pat Surtain. However, it is my understanding they did not have a high opinion of Justin Fields. That is not true. So if this is not true, you can make the case, why should I believe that Bridgewater is the presumptive starter? So with that...
Well, it's funny that we hear different things, because what I hear, like on Justin Fields, for example, they liked him, they didn't love him. With Jones and Fields, it's they liked them, but they only loved Lance.
He didn't have to write high opinion. He could have said, felt all of them were good quarterbacks. High opinion is different than good quarterbacks.
He might entail it differently. I mean, basically, it comes down to the decision of, okay, do you love a guy enough to move up? I mean, how many times have we discussed that in the weeks leading up to the draft? I think the only guy that they loved enough to where they would have made a move, or certainly would have happily taken him at 9, was Lance. If Lance had gotten past the 49ers, I think a trade up would have been very much in play.
This is what I was told. Would you like to know who their top 3 quarterbacks were in order? Would you like to guess, or would you like me to tell you?
Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
Trey Lance.
Yep.
Zach Wilson.
That's it. And I don't even know if Fields or Jones were even on there. Maybe they were. They possibly were. But here's something else to consider about this. He is going to write this. Michael Silver is going to write this because even if they despised, which they didn't, even if they despised Justin Fields, Michael Silver's not going to write that. They're going to make all these guys sound attractive and sound good. No one's going to rip a guy coming into the draft. Nobody. Publicly, for certainly. So I'm guessing that's why Silver wrote what he did. But it is just not true that they had a high opinion of Fields. That is not true.
Well, is really liking a guy having a high opinion?
If they had a high enough opinion of him, they would have taken him because it is the quarterback position.
Or they had a higher opinion. Maybe they, again, it's like versus love. You like Fields, but clearly they loved Surtain.
I can tell.
And they've loved Surtain for a while.
Okay, I'm going to say this looking you right in the eye. They did not have a high opinion of Justin Fields.
And I'll tell you, looking this right in the eye, I have been told they really liked Justin Fields. That was the wording that was given to me by someone who would know.
With that, Bridgewater, the presumptive starter, I'm wondering if that was written to stoke a fire under Drew Lock, or if indeed that's true. What do you think?
I don't think Silver's thinking about whether he's stoking a fire under Drew Lock or not.
Well,
I think if it were a quote from the Broncos, I think it would. I think that's the kind of thing that would stoke a fire.
I think the information came obviously from Elway, Peyton, or Fangio saying it's okay that you write this, but maybe they threw up a trial balloon to maybe get Locke's attention, is what I'm saying. I'll ask you. Who takes the first snap of training camp?
Well, I've said it before. I think Locke takes the first snap of training camp.
That he's not the presumptive starter.
I think, and I sit and if you let me finish, I think Bridgewater takes the first snap of the season.
I think he might take the first snap of the season as well. The presumptive starter and the incumbent are two different things. I think, unless he is suggesting, we're assuming he's going to start. Is that how you're reading it?
Presumptive starter means that he would be favored. Like, presumptive starter actually would say that he gets the first snap, but ultimately I think Locke is going to get the first snap just because of incumbency. I think they will end up having the same number of snaps. What I'm curious about, though, and this is just how these things end up being played, you know, for OTAs, they don't open up every OTA to the media. Right. It's only one a week plus the mini camp days.
Right.
So how do they divide that? Just for the for the purposes of show, do they make sure that when people can see it, the snaps are equal? Or do they just say, well, if it's Drew Locke's turn on day one and then this other day, and then you see more of Drew Locke with the ones in Bridgewater. I'm fascinated to see how they handle that.
Coming up after the break, an excellent column today by Sean Keeler in the Denver Post titled Vic Fangio, "You got the Broncos draft you wanted. Time to go win with it." Sean Keeler's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can also reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Colorado Off-Road, all the major accessory brands for your truck, your car, your Jeep, your SUV. You've got them at Colorado Off-Road. And when you buy from Colorado Off-Road, you know what? They install everything as well. And if you need something aftermarket, they've got over 90 years combined experience to help you get what you want. You go to those big national chains, they're not going to help you get some aftermarket because you know what? They want to sell you something new. That's not the way they roll at Colorado Off-Road. Here's something else I really like about Colorado Off-Road. It's a local company. I mean, hyper-local. What do I mean by that? Jerry grew up in Littleton, the owner. His business is in Littleton. He is contributing to that community with a fantastic business, Colorado Off-Road. So if you are looking to upfit today, you got to get to Colorado Off-Road. Go to COoffroad.com. That's COoffroad.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I'm going to bring in our friend Sean Keeler, columnist for the Denver Post. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing great. Let's talk about your column. Here was the headline. Vic Fangio, you got the Broncos draft you wanted. Time to go win with it. This team got a lot better defensively after the draft, of course. It would be a heck of a lot better still with a QB like Aaron Rodgers in the picture. You were a guy banging the drum for Justin Fields. Did they make a mistake in your mind?
They made a mistake not taking a flyer on Fields or Jones. And I think history is going to prove me right on that. Fields specifically, you and I and others have talked privately about the pros and cons. There's a reason, several reasons why he went where he went. I'd be very curious. It doesn't answer your question. Like, well, do you think they made a mistake? Yeah. Yeah, I do. If it Trey Lance were there, would they have made the same decision? I don't know. I think they better hope that Fields and Jones don't work out. Let's put it that way. And that means both of them, because people won't forget.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if Fields and Jones prove to be long-term answers. What do things look like for the Broncos, especially if the Broncos' pot of gold in the next month doesn't involve Aaron Rodgers? If it's the Lock and Bridgewater competition and go from there, how will this define George Payton's time if Fields and Jones hit?
It won't reflect well, but we're all kind of in that caveat mode, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're all kind of in a month of wait and see. You can't even judge this draft and this off season until early June. I mean, that's what this story and the fascination, justifiably in this town, for this story has done. We're asked to grade the draft right away and grade it every night and grade it at the end of the weekend. If they got to ship six of these guys in a month, was their value different or better because they were something that somebody else, i.e. Green Bay, wanted? Great. I don't think we have the full story yet. And that's going to color ultimately how we look at George Payton, how we look at this franchise, and how we look at where things are going. If there is no, I like your pot of gold, there's no Aaron Rodgers at the end of the rainbow, if this is it, it's a decent floor given this defense and what they've added to it and the depth, especially in the secondary. It's not a crazy high ceiling. And then it's going to be conditional on what that malcontented quarterback, i.e. Rodgers, ends up doing with his 2021. Because I know Eric tweeted this, and we talked about this socially, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this on the air. I know one thing Broncos fans don't want right now, and what you guys don't want and none of us want, and that is a division where the other three quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Aaron Rodgers in silver. I throw open my mouth thinking about it. That's the one thing you can't have, because then you're really up against it, and we know who's going to finish fourth, don't we, at that point.
Okay, so I'll throw this potential trade scenario at you, simply for the fact that, no, you don't want Aaron Rodgers playing for the Raiders. And then you mentioned the other two quarterbacks. Let's call it like it is. The Broncos would be starting every season with 4 to 5 losses to have to face that gauntlet of quarterbacks, right? I think that's probably a fair assessment, no matter how good this defense is. So let's say, and what I've been told, roughly a draft package, or not a draft package, but a trade package would be 2 first-round picks. You'd probably have to deal Bridgewater because they, not like people are going to be upset about that, but you would, if they got Rodgers, you would trade Bridgewater to be a bridge for Jordan Love, right? Then it's going to cost you at least a player, probably Bradley Chubb, because he plays a premium position and he's under control financially for the next 2 years. If you don't want him to go to the Raiders, it's probably fair to say that's the starting point. What else are you willing to give up to keep him away from Vegas?
At least one number one.
So three number ones. Three number ones and Chubb, and then probably a couple of mid-round picks.
Yeah, and you probably have to do another day two, which you hate to give up as a personnel guy, because that's where you make your money. You can find some starters out of that second, third round. It's going to hurt. It has to hurt, because the Packers would make it hurt. Would I do that? Yeah, I would. I've seen this defense without Chubb, and I've seen this offense without a Hall of Fame quarterback. If you can get a Hall of Fame quarterback right now, for all his quirks, and there are many, and all his idiosyncrasies, and you can Google them, there are many, if he makes you a Super Bowl contender right there, how many guys in this league, one guy, walks in at the right spot in the right team as they are right now and instantly makes them a double-digit win team and someone you don't want to see in the playoffs? How many of those guys are there? 6? 5? This is one of them. So, yeah, you do what it takes if that is your end game. And I know, Broncos fans, that is the bar. That is the end game.
Those 3 or so hours last Thursday when all the rumors were popping up regarding Rodgers and the Broncos and what might happen, were those the most exciting 3 hours of the post-Manning era?
I can only speak of the last three of the last five years. It was probably the most exciting 3 hours of the last 3 years I've been a part of the scene here, because people, again, they were able to dream of that pop. They were able to look at the NFL from the top down instead of from the bottom up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That world changed on one guy, one rumor, one hypothetical. And it still could. And for all the pontificating on either side of this, he is one of those guys. He just is. And this is a good enough team at its base level everywhere else, and has enough potential everywhere else, regardless of what you would have to give up. And yeah, it would have to be one of those defensive stars who's of a value, and it would be a Chubb type of guy, or maybe, I don't know if it would be Surtain, even given that need. It would be somebody good, somebody who's going to be a potential Pro Bowler. But this is a generational talent. It's different. It's a different scale. And people allow themselves to think that the Broncos were the Broncos again. And that sounds romantic, and I'm not a native. I'm not a child of this town. But I know what that means because I grew up with that too. And it's a different deal. Just that relevance for about 3 hours. People want to dream that because that's what they've seen here, and that's why they love it.
By the way, usually we are asking you the questions, but I'm going to flip it around because you're pretty adept to asking questions yourself, and you know where I'm going with this. Mace, Sean has a question for you.
Okay.
I'm curious because you tweeted about this over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoy following you. I enjoy your train of thought.
Likewise.
I love when you talk about the Super League.
I don't like following either of you, to be honest with you.
I know. Yeah. You can get that go jump. Hey, you know, but I took friendly issue with something that you tweeted, and I'm curious to get to follow up with you on this question to kind of sum up. Would you, and it's kind of piggybacks off our discussion a few questions ago,
mm-hmm.
and that is, would you, as someone who covers the Broncos, or if you were a Broncos fan, Mace, would you be comfortable being Vikings South if that was the ceiling and that's where this thing went?
Yeah, hell to the no. Because I it's funny, they've come up, and I talked a little bit about them even on social today. Said, look, since Favre walked out the door there, since he had nothing left in the tank in 2010, and then he retired, they've cycled through Christian Ponder, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins. 10 seasons, 4 playoff appearances, only 2 division titles. And a lot of that was because they were David armed with a slingshot against the Goliath Colossus that wore green and gold and jersey number 12.
Right.
And that's where, look, for all the Broncos have done, and it's a roster that has talent, until they get that quarterback position right, the success that they have in this division, it's going to be like the Vikings. It's going to be intermittent. It's going to be fleeting. It's not going to be something that sustains from year to year.
And of those 10 years in that period you mentioned, 10 decent years.
Yeah,
again,
competitive.
The Packers were a monster there, and the Bears, that's a whole other topic. I say that as the child of a Bears fan. And of that 10-year span, though, to your point, it's always the Vikings are what I think of as the ultimate high floor, low ceiling NFL franchise. And that is, they find a way. Now we have to change the map to 17 games. But they're always that 10-11 win, surprise, wild card team that gets there, that in that 10-year span, in those 4 playoff appearances, won all of 2 postseason games.
Yep.
Like, they're not going to get there.
Both against the Saints, by the way, who have their own issues.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, until they didn't. And have kind of lived in the shadow of that Drew Brees team ever since.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like the Atlanta Hawks and the Washington Wizards and everything that the Nuggets are tired of being. You know, just good enough. And that's, I would think this franchise, for all that history and how much this team leans on its past and hammers people with the past, because it's a good past, most of it, certainly since the mid-70s. And the fact that we spent 5 years looking up, you know, Lou Saban era numbers, it's not good. It's incredibly damning on a lot of levels. You got to aim higher than Viking South, but it's a better floor than where you're at. I will grant you that. And I would think also helps in the know. That's not what Bronco fans sign up for, and it's not what they've known for the last generation.
You have any questions for me?
How's your haggis? How's your Scottish cooking?
I don't really make that stuff. I do more American cooking, because I do most of the cooking anyway. Mandy doesn't like haggis, but I appreciate you asking. She likes to play golf, which is a Scottish thing. Mm-hmm. But I've never had haggis. Have you had haggis?
I have. It's great.
Is it good?
Really?
It's fabulous. It's basically European hot dog. Don't ask what's in it, because if you Google it, you'll throw up.
Don't ask what's in a hot dog. Don't ask what's in a hot dog. You kidding?
It's literally what's in a hot dog, but just more, you know, demonized. It's great. It's fabulous.
Listen, a hot dog and haggis are in the same family as a sausage, and the saying goes, you don't want to see how the sausage is made.
No, and there's a reason. No, very, very true.
Anything that goes into casing, I don't want to know what goes in there. Sean, thank you for your time. Continue churning out great columns, and we'll have you on again. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, man. Be safe. All right.
Coming up after the break, we're going to get back to our Aaron Rodgers conversation. If the Raiders get Rodgers and the Broncos have to play Mahomes and Justin Herbert twice a year, what is this going to mean for George Payton's tenure before it actually begins on the field? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. You can also listen to us, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
Okay, so the Raiders would like to have Aaron Rodgers. The Broncos would like to have Aaron Rodgers. You and I talked about it earlier on in the show. You know, George Payton might have to overpay. And if he decides not to and the Raiders do, I mean, what does this guy's 6-year contract look like with Rodgers, Mahomes, and Herbert in the same division?
Oh.
Okay, let's move on.
Sometimes a sigh or a groan is worth everything, right? I mean, you can get up and try to convince yourself that it'll still be okay. But the bottom line is you would be in an extraordinarily daunting situation. And it's actually, to some degree, but not as bad, it's been seen by a team in the last decade. That's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who in the NFC South looked around and saw a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees in New Orleans, a league MVP in Matt Ryan, and a league MVP in Cam Newton then with Carolina. And the Bucs did not go to the playoffs from 08 through 2019. And they tried everything. And in the end, they threw their hands up and said, screw it, we're going to roll the dice on a 43-year-old Tom Brady. And it paid off, and it flipped things for them. But it took a lot. It took a lot of pain to get there. And I would argue that looking around the division and seeing Mahomes, Rodgers, and Herbert, who just had arguably the best rookie season since Dan Marino,
right,
is more difficult than what the Bucs had to deal with for the last decade, swinging and missing and flailing with one quarterback and one rebuilding attempt after another. Basically, I think, unless you manage to find an amazing quarterback in the next draft, or if Drew Lock was something more than he's shown to, a lot more than he's shown to be, I think it would doom George Payton at the start.
Okay, we're going to play a game called I'm going to ask you two questions, and we're going to see how short your first answer can be so I can ask you the second one. Give me a grade on the Broncos draft.
I don't grade drafts right after they happen.
Good. Ask me what my grade is.
What's your grade?
I don't have one either. I don't have one either.
Right.
But I'll tell you why.
I'll be happy to grade. I'm working on a grade of the draft from 3 years ago for this week. I'll be happy to share that with you once I've evaluated compared to whether everybody else
here is. Here's the thing. Trying to evaluate this draft, it's evaluating this draft is more about evaluating George Payton as a talent evaluator than it is the actual players.
With inheriting a staff that was hired by somebody else. Correct. And a system by somebody else. I would expect we will see some changes coming up here in the next few weeks as George Payton puts his stamp on what the Broncos scouting is going for.
All we know about George Payton as a talent evaluator is what he said behind the scenes that is not public, and then we saw what Vikings GM Rick Spielman did. I have no idea if George Payton wanted Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota. I have no idea if he wanted Case Keenum. I have no idea if he wanted Sam Bradford, and I have no idea if he wanted Kirk Cousins.
Or if even he was listening to the coaches, because Sam Bradford, for example, is somebody that Pat Shurmur vouched for having coached Bradford in St. Louis.
What I can tell you is this, because I look at history, like when I evaluate a baseball team, it's every 10 games. Then I'll give you an opinion on that 10-game stretch. Where are they at? What's the snapshot?
And that's roughly equivalent to one NFL game in a season.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, for football teams, it's every quarter. Yeah. You kind of see where they're at, how they are playing. So as far as George Payton goes as a talent evaluator, I don't know what he liked and didn't like in the Vikings organization, because I don't know if he listened to everything. I don't know if Rick Spielman listened to everything that he said. It's kind of like a pitcher making his major league debut. You don't have a book on him. What I can tell you is, after enough data, I know I don't want John Elway picking my quarterback. I know that I don't want Jeff Breidich drafting players. I know that I don't want Jeff Breidich signing free agents. I've seen enough history on it.
Which is why when George Payton mentioned that he had John Elway looking at the quarterback,
You kind of had to roll your eyes.
No, I want John Elway looking at defensive players because he's proven he has acumen.
Correct.
There.
So I don't know what George Payton is like as a talent evaluator. We will find out in the next couple of years. So I'm not going to throw out grades. CBSSports.com threw out a grade and gave him an A. I like Pat Surtain. I mean, I don't watch all of his games. I never talk to him.
He's a high floor prospect.
Right.
If he busts, he's probably still a good starting CB2.
The most insightful thing that I have heard on this show has not come out of my mouth and has not come out of your mouth, and it has not come out of any guest mouth except for one. And it was about a two-sentence line that summed it up perfectly. When we had Charlie Casserly on the show, I said to him, if you were running the Broncos, would you take Trey Lance or Justin Fields? And his answer was, I don't have the same data that the Broncos have or any other team. That was an introspective, insightful, honest, humble answer from a guy who ran two NFL teams. So if he feels this way, who the hell am I to come out and say, without all the data, no conversations with players, no conversations with coaches, just what I'm hearing second or third hand. But I know. No, I don't. and neither does anybody else. We don't have the same data that these teams have.
And the other thing with grading, I mean, even in a normal year, I think it's a self-congratulatory exercise at best. There's a stronger word I could say, but I'm not going to say it on the air. And I got some flack yesterday on Twitter for saying that I think that post-draft grades are pointless right after the draft. But they are. At least mock drafts leading into the draft for fans have the purpose of letting people know kind of who are the prospects at the top of it. Grading right after a draft is the most useless exercise. I remember once when I was a kid seeing a draft that of the Bucks that was graded in as an A, and they didn't find a contributor out of it. And in 3 years, you knew it was an F.
Here's the thing. I never would have drafted Micah Parsons for what I know about, or I've been told.
Right.
About him. But you know what? Maybe he walks into that Dallas locker room with all of that talent and he becomes humble and he turns his life around. Now,
but they have some leaders. Like they have an established quarterback who everyone in that room
all I'm saying is all
so it's
I'm
a different dynamic.
All I'm saying is I wouldn't have touched him.
I wouldn't have either.
But this guy could be an 8-time Pro Bowler and a model citizen.
But we also said that if it were the 2015 Broncos, you absolutely would have wanted to bring him in.
True.
Because of the talent, and you'd say DeMarcus Ware and Derek Wolfe and others would keep him in line. That's not where the Broncos are at right now.
Right.
Different needs, different situations for different teams.
Danny, what do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Several instances this weekend during the draft of players being reunited who played together in their college days and are going to play together in the pros. We'll talk about that. Also, Luka Doncic might be suspended. Luka? That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
I was just playing this song on guitar over the weekend.
Yeah.
Said to Mandy, just give me some 80s songs that you like and I'll figure it out. And this was one of them.
Born and raised in South Detroit, otherwise known as Windsor.
You want to keep singing?
No, I'm fine.
Sure.
I just wanted to get that point that there really is no South Detroit. You're actually crossing the border across the Ambassador Bridge into Canada, right. But I digress.
Mark McIntosh, when I did the show with him, used to sing on the show.
Yeah.
Les used to sing on
it's
the
not
show.
Something I'm going to do regularly. Just
that's good that for everybody lyric. Involved. And it was good for everybody involved.
But I also like to point out the McIntosh fact that there's absolutely no part of Detroit that anybody calls South Detroit.
Right, right. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, during the NFL draft, several players who played together in college ended up on the same NFL team. Not only did the Jaguars take both Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne in the first round, but the Bengals also drafted Ja'Marr Chase, who was Joe Burrow's receiver at LSU, and the Dolphins drafted Jalen Waddle, who was a receiver for Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama. Do you think that it provides any significant benefit to have a player who played with your other players in college, especially quarterback?
Also, Pat Surtain lined up across from Jerry Jeudy probably a couple of times as well. I think it's a huge benefit because you know that guy and you know his habits. I think that plays a role in terms of helping your development quarterback receiver, not so much quarterback running back, and probably less you know, wide receiver and cornerback like the Broncos have.
It's a reason why, even though they didn't go in this direction, with Jerry Jeudy already aboard, if the Broncos thought something of Mac Jones, if they more than just liked him, they might have been wise to think long and hard about him, because he probably could have stepped right in, and Jerry Jeudy would have been his wide receiver one, and that would have given them, I think, a little bit of a leg up on most teams with rookie quarterbacks.
But he barely played with Mac Jones. Maybe he caught past him in practice.
No, they played. Remember, Tua got hurt during the 2019 season, and Mac Jones played with him down the stretch in the bowl game as well.
Right.
And they connected, and I know Jeudy speaks very highly of Mac Jones.
Is that it? Is that what we got? Yeah, because we're out of time.
Yeah, sorry.
And we probably need to hit a break. That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed, Masterpiece Roofing recently voted Denver's best roofing company, and their customers have given them over 85-star Google reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today. See how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. And yes, it is hail season, so you might be calling them soon. Whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding, let them turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to masterpieceroofing.com. I want to thank Howard Griffith and Sean Keeler for joining the show today. If you want to listen to those interviews, you'll be able to catch them probably on Twitter, Mace on your feed or my feed, or you can catch the full interview on milehighsports.com. Just go to our show page and take a listen. Alex, great job today. Same with you, Danny. Mace, terrific job as always. Terrific job all weekend covering the draft.
Thank you.
I will try and do better tomorrow. Make the best possible night you can. But I love it. But I love it.